I want to start by talking about the meaning of that statement from the point of view of two levels. Many of you may remember that then in my early years of teaching, I used to talk all the time about the two levels that the course is written on. In recent years, I tend not to refer to that quite as often. But I think it's still a very helpful distinction, and I think it's important in terms of understanding what that line means. Nothing so binding as perception of form. When I speak of level one, we're really speaking about the metaphysical level that the course is written on and the level that really forms the foundation for everything that Jesus teaches us here about forgiveness. Level one represents the distinction between truth and illusion, right? Between God and the ego. So that everything that is of God, the truth, spirit, love, Christ, etc., is true, and everything else is an illusion. And on this level, it's either or. It's one or the other. There's no in between. As the manual says, you cannot have a little bit of heaven in hell, and you cannot have a little bit of hell in heaven. Now, just as in popular speech, we say you can't be a little bit pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. You're either with God or you're not with God. And if you believe you're not with God, then you're in an illusion. Then you're in the dream. All right. So when Jesus tells us in the text that we're at home in God, yet dreaming of exile, the being at home in God is truth, and everything else is a dream of exile, the exile, self-imposed exile of believing that we're outside of our home. All right. That's what I refer to as level one. All right. And again, that's the basic metaphysical level of the course. Another way to characterize it is that this is the non-duality of the course, that this is not a dualistic thought system. There's only God and truth. Everything else is unreal. All right, so when at the beginning of the text, Jesus tells us nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists, that's a level one statement. Right, that God can't be threatened, which means the separation from him never happened. Nothing unreal, which is everything else, everything that's of the separation and post-separation, nothing unreal exists. And it's understanding that one finds the peace of God. Right, so that's the underlying level of the course, metaphysical level of the course. What we refer to as level two, which deals only with the illusion, and really relates to us in terms of our experience within the dream only. The distinction that we make is between the wrong-minded thought system of the ego, which is the thought system of special relationships, attack, judgment, pain, suffering, and death, guilt and fear, and the contrast with the right-minded thought system of the Holy Spirit, that is the correction for this, forgiveness, the miracle, atonement, all fall into that category. Both the wrong mind and the right mind are illusory. Right? So again, the distinction is between the illusion that breeds further illusions, that keeps us more rooted in the thought system of the ego, keeps us asleep, versus the illusion that undoes all the other illusions. So when Jesus tells us that forgiveness is a happy fiction, he's saying that forgiveness is an illusion, but it's a happy illusion because when we practice it and finally learn it and forgive totally, we undo all the other illusions. All right. But everything on the level that we refer to as level two is an illusion, right? Which basically means the Holy Spirit is an illusion, which is what Jesus tells us at the end of the clarification of terms in the section on the Holy Spirit. That the form, which is the concept of a Holy Spirit, the concept of a teacher, the concept of a voice, the concept of a guide, et cetera, all of this is illusory because the reality, the only reality is formlessness, right? And there's nothing else. Right? The reason I began talking about this, which I think I started, like I'm sure, 25 years ago now, over 25 years ago, is because very soon after the course was published, people were getting quite confused between these two levels. So, for example, when the workbook says sickness is a defense against the truth and somebody would catch a cold or sneeze, immediately people would jump right in and kind of start attacking them and accusing them. You know, how dare you be sick? Don't you know it's a defense against the truth? How dare you have cancer? You know, after all, it's a defense against the truth. And they would confuse levels. The basic experience one should have, the basic attitude one should have on level two is gentleness and kindness and patience. It obviously is not gentle or kind to hit people over the head with the course when they're in pain. Right? That's the confusion of levels. All right? On level one, the body was made as a limitation on love, just as the world was made as an attack on love. It's all bad in the sense that it comes from guilt. We're taught in the workbook, it is the embodiment of the thought system of the ego, which is a thought system of attack and judgment, pain, suffering, alienation, etc. And therefore, it is illusory. So course students would jump right in and say, well, anything that you do with the body then is bad because the body's an illusion. So, you know, you should watch what you eat, then you should probably watch what you breathe. Sex, of course, is bad. Sickness is even worse. Money is a sin because it all is about the body. Now, all that, of course, is true. But, again, breathing is all about the body, too. And nobody, you know, at the same time that they're telling other people not to have sex and not to spend money, or to have sex and spend money, because, after all, it's an illusion anyway, that people forget that the very moment that they're saying these words, they're also taking a breath, which means they're also perpetuating the very mouth that is saying all these so-called holy words. And again, all of this comes from the confusion of levels, right? Because on level two, the body is not sinful, right? The body is not a limitation on love. The body, as one workbook lesson tells us, is neutral. My body is a holy neutral thing. That's the title of a lesson in part two. The body is neutral because it can either serve the purposes of the ego, that reinforces guilt and breeds further separation, or it can be used by the Holy Spirit as the means of letting us understand that we are not separate. First, we're not separate from each other because our interests are shared, and ultimately that we're not separate from God. So the body in and of itself then is neutral. It's not bad, it's not good, which means nothing of the body is good or bad. All right, so probably the key theme or the key principle that underlies understanding what level two is purpose. Right? Everything in this world is an illusion, including this book. It's the purpose that we give to the things of this world that has us understand that they are either instruments of the ego, again, reinforcing specialness and separation, or they are instruments of the Holy Spirit, that they become the means of undoing specialness and separation. But the body in and of itself is nothing. Right? So again, on level one, we would say the body indeed is a limitation on love. Like the world, it's an attack on God. It's made to keep us separate from each other. On level two, it's an instrument of learning. And the only issue, the only question is, do we put the body in the service of the ego so that we learn more and more that the ego thought system is right? Or do we put it in the hands of Jesus so that he could help us learn that our experiences here in the world, both as physical bodies as well as psychological bodies, are instruments that he could use. That's part of the curriculum of our learning that we could learn, that he could use to teach us that our interests are not separate, our interests are not antagonistic to each other, our interests are joined and are shared, which then becomes a reflection of the reality of heaven. So when we look at the line, nothing so blinding as perception of form, right? And we'll see as we go through the specific section in which that's found. On level one, we would say nothing is so blinding as perception of form, because when we perceive form, right, we're perceiving an illusion, because there is no form. There are no bodies. Nothing is here. And the fact that we think we see something is proof to us that we're hallucinating. All right, so on the metaphysical level, nothing so blinding as perception of form means that everything we see here is a lie. Because the world was made to prove that the lie of separation was true. Indeed, that it was not a lie. All right. On level two, however, nothing so blinding as perception of form means that the ego, directing our eyes, will see the form as a way of making judgments. It's a way of finding fault. It's a way of finding sin. All right, so when the first obstacle to peace talks about the attraction of guilt, we use the form, our perception of other people, our perception of behavior, as a way of seeing guilt in other people. so we don't have to see it in ourselves. All right. The Holy Spirit's perception of form, that does not blind us. Right? That perception of form helps us realize that the form is a mirror of a decision that the mind has made. And so that the form then serves a holy purpose of getting us back to the mind, wherein we could reclaim our true self-concept within the dream of being a decision maker, so we could exercise the power of our mind to choose and choose again. All right, so on that level, we are certainly not asked to deny what our physical eyes literally see, but we're asked to deny the ego's interpretation of what our eyes see. And we'll see in this section that both levels are very important in terms of understanding this.